Welcome everybody to the Sunday Epoch Sex Space. Not Twitter Space. I've coined it Epoch Space. Epoch Sex Space. Anyway, if you are listening to the recording, I generally start it, then about 10 or 15 minutes later, or maybe a little bit sooner, we start getting into things. So if you're listening to the recording, just skip ahead a few minutes at a time until you start hearing things become fluid, the conversation become fluid. So thanks for listening. What's up, Sam? I will invite you up here. Hopefully that works fine. Let's see here. Yep. What's going here?
All right.
Hey, how are you? Oh, I need
Doing
it.
pretty well. How are you?
Good, man. Good. Had a good weekend. Yeah. Cooked some food and got some more things done, you know. How was your weekend?
Nice. That was pretty good. Relaxing. Again, getting the Flipper Zero and playing around with that one.
Yeah, exciting, man. Exciting. I'm super jealous. And
know.
at first I was like, man, you know, I'm like, you know, my flipper will get here when it gets here. I'm in real no rush, you know. Now I'm like,
Want it. No,
yeah.
I know. It's really it's interesting. I don't want to like go on and on about it, but I mean it really is like the sub gigahertz and the infrared, and just being able to like just the early assessment. I mean, you can brute force some of the sub gigahertz ranges, like even without intercepting a signal. Apparently, you can like brute force your way into like garage doors and
Yeah.
smart doorbells, and I'm imagining other appliances. Obviously, for anyone listening, ethically, right? Nowhere that you don't have permission to. But I mean, but yeah. So it's I'm really curious to like play around a lot more with it and see. It was funny hearing my younger son explain it to his mom. He's like, oh, something about like Daddy's dolphin is sleeping on his hacker thing last night before he went to bed. Because yeah, I was like, that's a pretty funny way to say it. Because I don't know what what the indicator is or like when it does it exactly, but at some point, the dolphin on the display like went to bed, was sleeping.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I like the
Yeah, it's
fun idea of the dolphin theme thing, and you know, I was reading some article about it and people see that and you're like, oh, this device isn't really, you know,
Yeah.
but
Well, it's like, I mean, that's how even when I first looked into it, man, what was it, last year or whatever? I mean, but like that was the whole it's like a Tamagotchi became went into
yeah.
like Ponaguchi. Right. And then this is like the next evolution of it. So it should be a lot of fun. I'm really, really curious to keep playing. I did order the Wi-Fi board though.
Oh, good, good.
So I rectified that. Hopefully your flipper arrives before that arrives for me, but
You know, man, with my luck, probably not.
no.
We'll see. I'll probably, yeah, it's weird because the tracking thing just has no information at all. Like, it never even left the building. And I don't know, man. But. Driving, how are you doing, man? I thought I invited you. I'll invite you to speak. I'm not sure if you're able to come up or not, but we'll just hang out and chat for a few minutes and see if people flow in. I saw a couple of people acknowledge the space, like Adam Dean and stuff, so I don't know if that'll get people flowing in, but we'll see.
All right. Oh, yeah.
I tell you what, though, and I'm not, like, it's kind of interesting. I get, I mean, not all of the time. But from time to time, I get people messaging me, all like people, you know, there's a guy on the Noom team and some other people I've helped out a lot over the last year saying, like, Yeah, just make sure you're recording these because I don't ever join the spaces, but I do listen to recordings. I'm like, well, you know, at least the purpose of recording it, at least recording it does serve a purpose, so, and is valuable, but.
Yeah, it's, I mean, and it is one of those things where, like, I will go back and I'll listen to some recordings that I miss. There aren't that many spaces, but some of them are like they're really good. And like I missed the whole one on I mean no, I was there for Hero. But like there are some of like Jarhead's characteristics that that I have missed, and I'll go back and I'll listen to those, even though those are like 2 hours long. But they're usually really
Those are great
interesting.
though.
Yeah,
Yeah,
they're
I
great.
hear you. Yeah.
And like some of them, like Flawed, he does spaces on Friday night, and they're really good. They're like just they're real chill spaces. Don't talk business, that kind of stuff. But like they're real chill. Those ones probably aren't as like good to go back and listen to necessarily, unless it's just like playing in the background. But they're
Right,
great
right.
to like interact with, right? And I
Yeah,
would
he
put.
has one. I forget the name of it, but he has one I think he does on Wednesdays. I'm not sure if that's what you said, but that where he does like where he introduces new people to crypto and does very low level stuff, kind of like what we do with low level security stuff. But he does it more from the getting people into the blockchain.
No, yeah, and those ones would probably be right. Those would be like good ones to go back and kind of listen to after the fact. No, it's Friday evenings, and they come on. They're like,
Okay.
I think 8 p.m. Eastern, and I think they're even called like Chill Space or Chill. I don't know. Anyway,
Oh yeah, I know what you're talking about.
yeah, like people come on like sing or read poetry or. A lot of it's just, chatting between whoever's up speaking. They're good, but anyway.
Sam, I think that's called Flawed Beginnings. He does another show. He's been around a long time. And
That's what it's
yeah,
called.
that's a Wednesday
that's
one.
Flipper Zero. Sam, you have a Flipper Zero too? I don't have one. The guy at work has one. A couple guys I know have them. But they're super powerful. You can like get into, scan your cards, get into doors and cars, garages, like you mentioned. Crazy.
No, yeah, they're, and I mean, I know I've read about them, for a while. I was telling, Macaroni yesterday, like I didn't back them on Kickstarter, even though I came across, I saw them, I looked into them, and honestly, I don't know why I didn't, because normally, like that's the kind of thing I'll back on Kickstarter, and but I didn't anyway. And so, but then they were like out of stock. They finally just came back in about 2 weeks ago. So I jumped on it and finally bought one. But it's kind of funny because I have an RFID like kit that I also got on Kickstarter a while back. And so like it comes with like a kind of a do-it-yourself. You get to put it all together. Then you can code your own RFID cards. It comes with three, and like you can, and it has a sensor, like so you can kind of go through the whole thing. It's just to like experience RFID, and I played around with it a little bit with just like the cards and the sensor, and but now that I have the flipper, I'm like, oh man, I can't wait to like break this thing back out and like kind of play around with just skimming an RFID card and. Anyway, nerd stuff, but it's fun.
Yeah. We need to stop talking about it because I'm getting very sad that mine is not here yet.
Know.
Kidding.
Well, and apparently, like another one of it too. Well, yeah, let's stop talking about it, and then I'll talk more. But
No,
the
go
last thing that we'll probably be around point to get into the topic of the day. But like the other thing is like I was reading, so you can intercept many things, right? I mean, largely it's signal based, so it's like RFID or or some of the other like RF frequencies, mostly sub gigahertz. You can get the Wi-Fi board, which I was telling Macaroni, like I didn't get it when I bought the thing. I don't, but anyway, I went in and I bought one yesterday, or today or whatever. So come, but anyway, but I heard, like there was one thing where they're like, yeah, so because you can interact or intercept these things, if you get someone to like press the unlock button on their car while you intercept it, so it has to be like it's kind of a specific thing where the signal cannot execute to the vehicle, right? So like you either have to be far enough away or like put it in, a Faraday bag or something to where you can intercept the signal. And then you can record it on your flipper. And then you can go out and replay that to unlock the car with your flipper one time, right? And it's just using an exploit where there's a certain range of keys that your car will remember. And so as long as they're not used, you could, potentially capture them. It's obviously like a very, it's not like a super practical thing. Like you kind of have to set up for it, but it's pretty cool.
No, but I mean, if you're doing like pen testing and you're doing some physical security testing or whatever for a company, that the Flipper would be an awesome little tool to have in your, in your pen testing bag, if you will.
Sure.
You guys want to get started?
Can
Yeah,
I
go ahead,
ask
Scott.
one thing about the flipper? Like, obviously, if they get close to your keys and stuff, like say a valet or something, even when you're traveling, like, are they able to steal your chip for your hotel room and your car keys, basically, and get in your
Yeah.
car?
Well, so for the, yeah, a little bit different technology, but yeah, so for your hotel keys, and some other near field communication NFC type of devices, you can use this as a skimmer and copy them. Now, honestly, I don't know exactly the range. I only just physically got it yesterday. I've been reading about it a little bit, but like, I don't know the range, but yeah, you can copy your hotel room key or your employee badge if it's an RFID badge versus if it's a security chip with a reader it might be able to, but you might need like one of those prototyping boards to set something up anyway. Or if it's like near field communication, so I don't know, like an Apple ID tracker kind of a thing, then you could copy those. I don't know the range, but you can copy those. And then replay those. You can save them and replay them. So, like, if you took a hotel room, it's not like what I just described with a car. You could do it with your hotel key. You could copy someone's key, or for ethical reasons, you're copying your own to have a backup. But and then you could use it as long as the key is valid, like that. Now with the car keys, it's usually a little bit different because some of those most many of those are using like on demand encrypted RF signals, although some of them aren't. Like I have a key for my car that I'm not actually sure if it is near field or not. I'm gonna have to look at it. I'm gonna try to copy it. But anyway, so yeah, some of those you definitely can pretty easily. Which copying hotel keys is a great lead into the topic today.
Yeah. it's interesting though, because that all the stuff that a Flipper can do, like there are tools and devices out there that people have been using this kind of doing this kind of thing for a very long time, it's the Flipper is an interesting thing because it's giving more exposure to the broader mass of people of what can be done, right? Because I mean, I know people that have been working forensics for 20 years that have been doing these types of things for 20 years, you know.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
It's just
And I mean, and not that like I'm not gonna say like I could do it right now, but I think with a little bit of kind of refreshing knowledge and a little bit of extra learning, like I could do an RFID scanner, right?
yeah.
You know, to like those, you know, I could, those, you could do those. I think, yeah, like they've been around for a long time. You know, yeah, I think what Flipper does is like they just take all of the things that have been out there, you know, even like the sub gigahertz or other art, like radio frequency transmissions. Right. And rather than
Right.
having a specific device that you create with a cone to like capture the signal, they just put all of these things, these kind of dispersed, you know, utility devices into one powerful little
Yeah.
toy-looking device.
Yeah. And then with the prototype boards, they just, I mean, the possibilities with that thing are virtually endless, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, good, definitely a good segue into the topic. So I, before we get into it, and think about this throughout the call, and I'll ask you guys at the end, I'm thinking about changing the time of this a little bit. I don't want to do it in the middle of the day on a Sunday, but it's weird because when I went to the morning times on Sunday, it was like, you know, I would get quite a few people joining. Then when I switched to the evenings, I got a lot of people joining, but then time zones changed and stuff, and I'm not sure if that's affected it. So I'm thinking about maybe going back to the morning time on Sunday, but I know people, you know, have personal things to do, church or, you know, whatever, what have you. But yeah, think about that throughout the call, and I'd like to see what you guys think about it at the end. Yeah, so getting into the topic of the week, Sam and I have talked about this rather extensively this week. And you know, have the video out there that I've done. We have those wonderful looking slides that Sam has done for me again that I've put in the tweet and stuff like that. But and he had a good point too. And what I, you know, there's a lot of conferences coming up this year. You have Bitcoin Miami, we have the Cardano Summit coming up in Dubai, which Sam, you know, I've been to Dubai, and you know, plenty of other people have been to Dubai. And you know, there's a lot. One of the things we talk about in this week in this topic is, you know, non-specific to any region, but then topics around specific to regions and how to look for that kind of information and be aware of what to know about, you know, current events and things like that about the area you're going into. Anyway. So that's what we'll be talking about, and we'll be going through an ordered list of tips here, and we can derail at any point because, you know, that's just fine. But you know, we really wanted to talk about things that you know, we've traveled all around the world and have a lot of experience at this, and we just want to talk about different tips and key things to be aware of and focus on when you're traveling wherever. I mean, it could be just traveling to another state in the US or just while you're out in town or traveling internationally, right? That kind of thing. But the first topic is that we talked about a lot this week is being aware of scams, right? And I'll kind of do what I've done the last couple of weeks, and I'll just share a couple of tips here, probably just using the slides, and I'll get it started and just see if either of you guys have things to add on to it, maybe examples or experience or something like that. So anyway, the first one is being aware of scams. And we talk a lot about that through EpochSec, but specifically with traveling, this is important physically as well, right? So something I say all of the time, very repetitively, is to be very careful and really just to never share information with people about yourself. I would like to say be very careful, but then that gets across the idea like, then I get concerned that people aren't going to grasp the concept and still be loose with what they tell people. So when you're traveling, for example, you never want to tell people why you're traveling, whether it's a personal trip or a business trip. Maybe you're traveling for a funeral or a wedding, or maybe you're coming up for you're going to wherever for a cybersecurity conference, or hey, you're staying at this amazing resort hotel because your company paid for it. Those are the kind of things you don't want to share. You obviously don't want to share anything very specific about you, right? Your personally identifiable information, but you also don't want to travel share anything about your actual travel, your destination, where you plan on going, things like that. So, and obviously, being aware of social engineering techniques, and my dog is barking, so forgive me for that. But being aware of social engineering. So, when you're in another country, it's going to be sometimes easy for people to pick out that you are a traveler, you're not local to that area, and they'll try social engineering techniques. They might try to invite you to a place that you shouldn't be going to. So always stay in high visibility traffic areas. Always be very careful when someone is trying to sell you something. Sometimes that's hard to discern if someone's trying to sell you something for triple, quadruple the price of what it's actually worth. That's happened to me before a long time ago. RFID skimmer, scams, we just talked about that, the skimmers. We could touch on that a little bit more, Sam, if you'd like to. And also doing your research about the scams ahead of, or crime activity, that kind of thing, ahead of time for the area that you're going. So if you're going to Dubai, look up there, what's been going in on in Dubai lately. I'll just pause there and see what you guys see if you guys have any examples or thoughts or additional things to share.
Conventions in Dubai? Go ahead, Sam. Is
What's that?
this like conventions coming up in Dubai? Or I'm sorry, I missed the part about Dubai.
No, just as an example, right? So, for example, the Cardano Summit is going to be held in Dubai this year, right? Bitcoin Miami would be held in Miami, or I think the summit was held in Le Switzerland last year. So just being acutely aware of where you're going. And being aware of, the activity in that area of where you're going, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, so I'd love to jump in a little bit on this. And, so all super great points. With, so this space, seeming to be like the EpochSec mission, right, is generally on the Cardano community specifically, but it really extends to a lot of other things. I would say, understanding why you're traveling, where you're traveling to, and like you said, it could be to another country, and there's additional complexities involved there. But even within your same country, whatever that is, to a different area that you're unfamiliar with, there's still things to think about. And whether it's for personal travel or business travel, I think it changes only a little bit. And I would say that as like, so, an example of if you're traveling for personal reasons, and you're going wherever, you're going to England, right, as a tourist, and you're traveling around, whatever, your goal is to see all of the castles, or at least most of them in Europe, right? Like that would be a little bit different of how you're going to structure your like your security assessment, if you will, even if it's not quite that defined. It's going to be a little bit different than if you're traveling for business, especially in maybe what many of the listeners for EpochSec would be, something crypto related, blockchain related. If you're like if you're traveling as a tourist, right? I would put it simply this way. If you're traveling as a tourist, it's fine and maybe understandable that you're going to ask some things of the locals that that are going to kind of give away what you're there for, right? If you're asking for directions or local hotspots or things like that. But again, I would still stick that to, do not, or, be very careful, which I know those aren't really maybe the words, but like be careful or don't share more than you need to about where, like what's going on, where you're staying. Right. So asking questions about sites in an area, you can do that or should do that without revealing where you're staying. Like, oh, hey, I'm looking for restaurants around this hotel that I'm staying at. Maybe be a little more generic about where, where the center hub is. But going for business too, right? That can open you up for like, oh, okay, you're traveling for this reason or that. Especially if it's something blockchain or crypto, right? And then automatically it's going to assume, okay, there's money involved, there's a lot of value or, technology that could be interesting to exploit. For the RFID skimmers, that's something that, I mean, I think they're prevalent in pretty much every country now. And since a lot of hotels, unfortunately, don't put a lot of they don't put a lot of emphasis on the security of their key cards. They're usually pretty basic, even if there are more advanced security options available for a particular reader. Traditionally, they use pretty much the bare minimum, and that's they're encrypted or coded with the room and the when they expire, but there usually aren't a lot of like real detailed or involved like encryption for that information to prevent skimming. And skimming can work for an RFID anywhere from like 10 inches to 10 meters, depending on the equipment that you're using. So being careful of those. And I think you mentioned, if I remember correctly in the video, about using like the little aluminum or steel shields to put your cards in, and having some of those for different devices. Those are good. They are a small nuisance to have to like put it in there, and then you got to, pull it out of a little sleeve to use it. But when you think that you're probably only going into a hotel room or badging into a conference or something periodically, then it may be a small nuisance, but hopefully you're not doing it too often throughout your day. And the other thing I would kind of tip in there too is, a lot of conferences, when you talk about like traveling for business, right, a lot of conferences will issue badges. And so trying to protect those badges from, just being out and seen. And really that could be for two reasons. One is either because if there's like an RFID potentially, aspect to it, you don't want them to be scanned and somebody to, take advantage of it, whatever, to get into the conference, or, when they shouldn't be, or to duplicate them and then they walk around with a badge that looks legitimate. And that's true for like your place of employment, but it's true for conferences too. And looking at the pictures from Consensus, it was amusing to me because it's like there's so many clear pictures of exactly what the badges look as people front and back as people are taking pictures and sharing pictures of it.
Yeah, there's a lot of in there, right? Yeah, I mean, and to your point, Sam, right? Asking for directions to somewhere or something like that, for example, right, makes sense. But if you're in a bar just having a drink and you're on vacation or you're not working and you're on business travel, Be cautious with the small talk, right? Those kinds of scenarios, right? Some stranger you've never met before in a country you've never been to before, you probably don't want to tell them all of, any troubles you're having, or like you said, right, where you're staying or where you're going, that kind of thing. You don't have to, you don't have to treat it like you're trying to circumvent the CIA. Right, but the whole theme of what we talk about a lot is avoiding or making it easier on a potential bad actor to compromise you, right? Hornet, welcome, man. I will invite you up. Welcome back. I know you've been here before. I'll invite you up to speak. Driving, did you have any thoughts or anything to go back on that topic before we move forward?
Well, I've done a lot of traveling, but the data wasn't so sensitive back then. Like it was, you want to steal my race car RPM data? I get it, probably not. And I didn't really connect to the internet. Like I'd go to the hotels if they had a fee on the internet, I wouldn't connect, right? I had my whatever 2G phone at the time or whatever, and made my connections, but I didn't have to upload so much content. I wasn't there working per se. I was there doing racing stuff, right? So I did a ton of flights, and obviously you always want to keep your stuff, like get comfortable with the things you're traveling with. Because, sometimes you have to like be on the move and you got to be comfortable with all your stuff and not like forget anything, obviously. And I'm just curious, like data wise, like you made great points about the cards and the tickets and stuff. And I saw that you had extra cash hidden on your thing. So yeah, multiple ways to get access to money, but like you always have to have a, you might lose one piece of luggage. Just saying, you might lose all of them. We've lost 9 engines one time. But this is like, you learn from your mistakes while traveling. You don't make those same mistakes again, but you have to do a lot of traveling to get there. So whatever tips you got on the security side, I'm all ears. And welcome, Able Pool. You're awesome.
Yeah, Able Pool, yeah, man. I think I invited you up. Obviously, not obligated. You can sit there and listen, but I invited you in case you do want to hop up. But yeah, driving sounds good, man. Well, just move right along to make sure we get through all these here. So, tip number two, public Wi-Fi. And again, these are in no specific order. And just take a moment to mention if anybody's listening or recording as well. Something to keep in mind, nothing that we every time we talk about topics like this, we're not covering every single possible topic, right? Or there are plenty of other examples, or there might be other ways to approach this, right? These are just from our experience and our professional and personal experience, the things we might recommend, right? Anyway, public Wi-Fi is the next one. So, going through the slide right here and the key topics that we hit this week so far would be, first of all, I would say if you can avoid using public Wi-Fi, whether that's in your hotel room or you're just at a Starbucks downtown or you're at a conference or anything like that, especially if you're at some kind of hacker conference, obviously do not use that public Wi-Fi, right? But yeah, be careful. Don't use it. Don't use a public Wi-Fi if you can avoid it. So, for instance, when I travel, no matter where I am, I will typically use my phone's mobile hotspot to connect to get my laptop online. Furthermore, I'll hide the SSID. If you're not familiar with what that is, it's just, when you're searching for Wi-Fi connections, the name of the Wi-Fi connection, right? That's your SSID. So what I'll do is go to my mobile hotspot name or settings on my mobile device and hide that SSID so that I have to manually type that in on my laptop when I want to connect to it. So that's one thing. Or carry a mo individual mobile hotspot. If your service provider you have your mobile device from, you can also maybe get like a 5 gigabyte a month or something mobile hotspot, right? That might be an option too, so that you can connect your phone to that. If you have to connect to public Wi-Fi, use an I won't dig into this one too much, and maybe I'll save it for somebody else to talk more on it. But if you do have to co connect to public Wi-Fi, try to use a reputable VPN. And one thing I always try to clear the air on VPNs, right? A lot of there's always generally a misconception on VPNs. They are not designed to give you full-blown anonymity, but they do provide you some level of privacy. Those are very different things. We could talk more about that if we'd like to. But moving on, so I get through the part I want to talk about. If you are using public Wi-Fi, whether you're using public Wi-Fi or not, but especially when you're using public Wi-Fi, do not ever conduct any sensitive actions, right? So going back to what we talked about earlier about sharing too much information with strangers when unnecessarily, if I'm traveling to India for a business trip, I'm not going to tell my wife on chat my very next move. In 2 hours, I'm going to be taking Uber to go to A, and then after A, I'm going to be going over to B, and I'll be back in my room by 10 p.m. I won't put that in, I won't communicate that to her when I'm on a public connection. I won't conduct any banking transactions or crypto transactions or anything like that. Something that could be, something sensitive to where if that sensitive traffic is intercepted when I'm on that public connection, that would be detrimental to me, right? I'm going to avoid that. But yeah, I'll pause there. This might actually be something, Sam, you might enjoy speaking more on. I'm not sure, but actually, Able Pool, I see you requested to come up. Sam, before we do move on, Able Pool, welcome up, sir. How are you?
Hello.
Hey, we can hear you. Well, welcome up. Anyway, go ahead, guys.
All right. Welcome, Hornan. So much on this. For the VPN, and you're absolutely right. I mean, like that could be like a whole space to itself. But
Yeah.
I will reinforce, second what you said. There are certain things the VPN does very well, and certain things that, unfortunately, it's just bad marketing that they don't do very well. But one thing that they do well enough is they provide a secure tunnel from a hostile or potentially hostile area to a safer area. So like getting you from within that public Wi-Fi out to somewhere that's hopefully more friendly. And I would just say with a reputable VPN, I would probably look for one that has a kill switch enabled, so that if you are connecting to a public Wi-Fi, a kill switch is enabled and you're not leaking information while the VPN is spinning up. But that's all I'll say on it for now, because yeah, that's like there's so much there. So definitely, I mean, bringing your own internet is best practice. As Macaroni said, you're a mobile Wi-Fi hotspot, sometimes called a MiFi device, these little cell phone looking things that you can take with you, and then you just kind of control your own access. The other thing I would maybe say is like for the SSID, hiding it is a good kind of low level strategy too. Another one is try like if you have the option, and most like mobile Wi-Fi or MiFi devices will let you do this, change the name to something random, whatever you want. But it's like try not to leave it to whatever it actually is, right? That it's like your T-Mobile Wi-Fi with a string of numbers or something. And the reason is you don't want it to necessarily reveal easily anyway what device it is. That way it could be potentially easier for a bad actor to, figure out, oh, you're using a T-Mobile, Wi-Fi hotspot. So it's probably this kind of device. Look up whatever vulnerabilities against that specific device are and attack those first. Giving it either an innocuous name or or something like that might prevent a little bit or take it a little bit longer if a bad actor did do it. And yeah, I mean, it really is. Obviously, it'd be great from a security standpoint to just give an ultimatum and say, hey, never use public Wi-Fi. But that's not realistic, right? Like, as much as that might be an ideal situation, the reality is people are going to travel, they're going to want internet, right? That's the modern day, like, gold. Who has Wi-Fi? I'm going to go to the Starbucks because I know they always have Wi-Fi, or something like that. But if you do need to do it, yeah, just be very careful of what you connect, and what you do on it. As Macaroni already said, I'm not going to repeat those. But I would just maybe add too, especially if it's an enterprise or your business device, or you're connecting to, your enterprise network or enterprise applications. In other words, if you go down to Starbucks and it's just like, that's where I'm going to do that for an hour, I'm going to, power down on some work, either related to the event that you're at while you're traveling, or right, because you're a workaholic and you're on a personal trip, but you want to like dial back into the office and take care of something. Just, I would say those are things that I probably would not do on public Wi-Fi. Definitely check with whatever your remote device, mobile device policy is for your company, or if you're a small project and you don't necessarily have a policy, right? Just be very careful. Because you could inadvertently expose valuable enterprise assets or that device to a hostile network. So,
Yeah, very good addition, Sam. Very good. Driving or Hornin Able Pool, do you guys have anything to share along this topic right here?
yes, about traveling, I might have something.
Sure.
You guys might want to talk about the Franken wallets and the security around it. That is amazing because let's say I'm traveling, and I while traveling I can keep all my keys in that tiny little USB flash drive with my OS that's in it, and securely sign all my transaction in an offline environment on any computer I want. And when it's done, I just use the second USB flash drive to submit my transaction on the blockchain directly from a hot node that I use with, let's say, public Wi-Fi.
Yeah,
I don't know
I couldn't come
if
off mute, but that's a very good point, Hornin.
you might want
It's
to talk,
almost like
yeah.
a it's like almost like a different topic though, because to your point though, that's something that we should probably dedicate time to educate the community on, especially before they go to the Cardano Summit in Dubai, for example. Maybe do like a demo and walk through on that or something. But yeah, you're right. You could definitely use Franken addresses for that. Yeah.
But if you could make a if you would like to make a video on how exactly to set to, to set up a Franken wallet, or it's well it's similar to it's similar to dual booting, but you install the old Linux on that USB flash drive,
Yeah, and you obfuscate your, you're obvious, you're applying some obfuscation techniques right there. Yeah, that's a great idea. I'll reach out to you more about that, because maybe we'll work on something like that dedicated. That's a great idea.
Yeah, I love that topic too. Definitely, I agree. We should that should be a whole that should be a topic of itself. What almost comes to mind with that is it's almost, and I know it's not. So to any security people, right? Like I get it, but like it's almost in a way like the same concept of like an air gap in a way, right? Because you're signing on one for addresses or
Yes, exactly.
transactions, and then you're committing on a separate thing. It may not be a pure or true air gap, but I'm just saying like it's there's a lot of
Well, it's mostly I'll try to simplify. It's like you're using the computer resources without using anything from its hard drive. So it's like You have your own hard drive, your own OS, everything with you, secure, and you just use the the computer resources that you're using with the USB flash drive. So you can be totally isolated from the internet by doing that, and you sign everything you need, and after that, afterwards, you just you get back on the very same computer, and you open it with the actual hard drive that's in it to submit your transaction. I'm
Yeah.
sorry, maybe it's
No, that's great. That's great, Able Pool. I no, yeah. And that's the thing. Sitting up here, we're not going to have all that. Yeah, no, that's a great idea. That's a wonderful idea. And so maybe we take this topic actually, because I've done a lot around this around fingerprint addresses, and I've watched some stuff around Andrew as well, and but maybe we dedicate a time or a week to this topic, maybe like a month before a lot of the Cardano events start, right? Like I know Rare Evo and CNFT, or they renamed it anyway. Those come up in like starting in August and September, and then when is the summit? Like September or October or something. So maybe in July, a week in July, we all talk and plan this out, and maybe a week in July we dedicate some time to talking about this topic, so it's kind of fresh in everybody's mind right before all of the different events start. What do you guys think? You good with that?
Yeah, I like it.
Sure.
Cool.
You could almost do it with like a maybe a the topic is live booting on USB, and then including that like Franken address with the two USB sticks live booting as a use case example. I don't know, or maybe you separate them and they're just different, but that's an idea. But I love it, yeah.
Yeah. Let's talk about the, yeah. Let's brainstorm some ideas around that, because I want to make sure it's also, consumable for the majority of people going to these events too, right? Sick. I see that you've requested to speak. I'm gonna allow you up. I do not know you, and I've looked at your profile, so let's hope you're not gonna give me a hard time here. But
Yeah, welcome,
we'll see.
Jason Whalebone. He's good.
Oh, okay. I haven't met him before. Welcome. Nice to meet you, Sick. Welcome up to the space.
No, you know who this is.
Who? S speak again?
Boobla, stake pool that failed.
Oh, hey, man. Oh, I was wondering what happened. Oh, hello. It is great. I'm going to follow you right now. It is great to hear from you again, man. Anyway, welcome up, dude. Well, yeah, great to see you. I wasn't sure what happened. Anyway, all right. We're gonna go ahead and move on to the next topic here. Let me get
Before we
my.
segue, this seems like
Yeah.
PFC fourth day in the army OPSEC for crypto.
Yeah, that's basically the general idea. Yeah. Yes, this is not for a 20-year seasoned cybersecurity person.
Right.
If you are, then this may not be the place for you, unless you want to help give advice. So closing up the idea on the public Wi-Fi and that topic. Also, another thing to mention real quick is disabling unused connections as well. So a lot of people out there use Apple Pay or Samsung Pay or Google Pay or whatever to create, conduct their transactions. That'll typically use NFC or near field communication, something we kind of Sam briefly touched on earlier, in one of his points he made, or using Bluetooth to connect your headset or connect your laptop or whatever. It's easy to turn these connections on and then leave them on. I would just say be very cognizant and aware of the access and connections that you have enabled on your devices, and ensure you're turning them off when you're not using them. It's extremely easy to turn Bluetooth or NFC off and turn it right back on. Or if you're using AirDrop or Nearby Share on iOS or Android devices. So just make sure you're having things, just keeping things disabled when you're not using them. Another thing to mention is Karma Pool was in Cardano over coffee on Friday when I was kind of doing at my bowl of macaroni, where I just spend a quick brief 5 minutes talking to their audience about the topic of the week. And Karma has 23 years of experience in cybersecurity too, and really smart, cool guy. And he talked about AirTags. And I'm not actually, I can't be familiar with everything, but I'm not really too familiar with AirTags. I've not really used them. I don't really use a lot of different Apple products. But he talked about a lot of different topics in that. So I'd recommend going back to Cardano Over Coffee's Friday Twitter space and listening to that part. It's at the very end of their space. So you could get all of the information he shared. But one thing he mentioned is, so this is something I'll get into later potentially. I'm just not sure if I'll remember to bring this back up or not. But if maybe I will say, I'll just quickly mention it. So you can use an AirTag to put in the safe in a hotel room. So if you decide you're going to put something in the safe in a hotel room, which there's more to that, which, like I said, we'll get into where you should really try to keep most of your sensitive things, your highly sensitive things, on you at all times, right? You don't want to leave super duper sensitive things far away from you. But if you do leave a mildly sensitive thing in the safe in the hotel room, put an AirTag in there as well, because this AirTag is trackable. It can track it, right? So if for some reason, and a hotel employee or a bad actor gets into your room when you're not there, walks off with the safe, because these safes are not really that big in a hotel room. They could literally just pick it up and walk away with it. Maybe not a 90-pound woman, but most people could probably pick this thing up and walk away with it. So use an AirTag. But that's maybe the conversation we'll get into more of that later on. But I want to continue through the topics here. So the next topic is tip number five, data encryption. So
Decent.
And I'll just quickly talk about this and see what Sick and Herndon and Sam and Driving you guys have to say about this, because I talked about it a lot this week. So I'll just quickly mention it. Encryption, the overall topic is encrypting your devices, whether it's your laptop, a USB device, having a USB device with encryption built in, using a password manager, or using different backups as well, whether it's a photocopy of your passport or a backup of digital data or something like that. So I'll pause and see what all you guys have to say around that to share with the audience.
All right. Well, I don't know if we're going in a particular order, but I actually have some code publicly available on my GitHub for generating PGP keys. And also I have a YubiKey setup guide, the YubiKey GOAT guide for setting up YubiKey and storing your PGPs on the YubiKey as far as that, and some of the encryption technologies that you can use, some of the programs you can use to encrypt hard drives and flash drives and things like that, you can use your PGP key to do so along with the YubiKey. So just you can go look at the code that's published on GitHub that should help you as far as generating PGP keys and setting up a YubiKey.
Hey man, if you want to DM me that information, I'd be happy to tweet it out and share it out later on and spread the awareness of that.
Well, I'm not gonna
It's up to
tweet
you.
it, but it's github.com/sickthecat, all one word.
Okay.
And it's also in my bio on Twitter, so if anybody wants, I mean, there's other stuff on there too. I'm very much red team minded, so there's a lot of red team tools on there and things of that nature. But yeah, as far as
Cool.
generating PGP keys and setting up a YubiKey, there's a guide for a YubiKey setup, and there's also a PGP key generator on the GitHub as well.
I like it. I like it. Thank you very much, man. Sam, what do you got?
Yeah, I see an image generator too. Very nice. Data encryption, I mean, this is, best practice for any time that you like, for all the time, right? The one thing I will say is most of these, full disk encryption, preferably, but file based if you need, like, they can be used with something like a YubiKey, right? So rather than just having a password, I don't know if this is giving too much, but like for my Pop OS, right, it's full disk encrypted, and to unlock it, it's one of the keys on my YubiKey that I use to do that. So So like for me, that's a very handy way of, providing a really long credential to unlock the full disk. But you can do, a similar thing with BitLocker or whatever your encryption method is for, Mac or Windows or whatever. BitLocker is fine. Go ahead.
So you mentioned using the YubiKey as a standard line to streamline the encryption of your drive. I believe, and I'll have to find the documentation, write my own guide around it, there is a way, say you use Lux or something like that on Pop OS or Ubuntu or any Debian-based distro, there's a way to make it so that the disk headers, the encryption headers for the Lux partition are actually on the YubiKey and have to kind of be plugged in like a puzzle piece in order for the rest of the decryption to take place. And so I'll be writing a guide on that shortly, probably within the next 3 days.
Excellent. Is that going to be on your GitHub?
Yes. Everything I do is on my GitHub.
All right. I'll watch that. That sounds really cool. I know like Windows, Mac, and I don't know if Pop OS or some of the other Linux. But anyway, I know Windows and Mac, like you actually can use YubiKey as your login. Definitely. I'll watch for that if you're writing that in the next couple of days or whenever. I'll
put it out. I'm currently working on a sponsorship with YubiKey.
Nice.
So I'll be getting some devices, and part of the contingent on that is writing helpful guides for YubiKey users. So it'll be part of the educational material I'm putting out.
Perfect.
Very, yeah. Very cool, man. I may or may not use YubiKey on my Pop OS system with Lux to do that, actually. Yeah.
Well, these are exact tips I'm looking for. So thanks, guys. I have been encouraged to use the keys, and I have made PGP keys, and I've been exploring and practicing a little more. So thanks for the great tips, guys. Keep rolling.
See, that's why we do this driving right there, man. People getting value of it out of it and getting something useful. That's what matters. Yeah.
I don't know whether you're jumping around or not. For tip four, the physical security, we did kind of talk about that a little bit with some of the earlier like steps 1 through 3, but then we got to 5.
Oh damn, I skipped 4.
Yeah. So there were a few things on there.
Go ahead, man.
I had thought of. And so, and again, I think we've talked a lot about these in the other steps, and even in, just now in step 5, right? Or tip 5. One of the big things, and I want to say it because I think it applies with a lot of these things, data encryption as well. So it's, and I'll say this carefully because it's not for everyone, and it's not going to, like, I realize not everyone will do this. But when you look at the physical security, sometimes the best answer is, let me rephrase this in another way. When you travel, take only the devices that you actually need, right? So probably almost everybody or a lot of people will have tons of devices. They'll have, a smartwatch, a cell phone, a so-called smartphone. They'll have a tablet, a laptop or two. Go ahead.
Is it fair to say basically that if you're going to a public event that has nothing to do with, I don't know, I'll use hacking and pen testing as an example. So if I'm going to a conference that has to do with PCI compliance and it's a bunch of business suits types, I don't need to take my hacker's EDC bag with me.
Right. Probably. Yeah, probably. Or maybe you want to. But yeah, probably you don't need to. Yeah, I mean, just, think about what you actually need and bring those things. Certainly, if you're going to DEF CON, you don't want to show up on their wall of shame, which also ties into using public Wi-Fi, but that's neither here nor there. Okay, so, but yeah, I mean, just think of what devices you really need when you're traveling and only bring those things, then I would transition to a slightly more advanced concept of potentially don't bring your real device or like your main device, right? Bring a loaner or a temp device, that
bring the $30. The $30 burner phone. Don't bring your $700, brand new Google Pixel phone that you use for work.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And I realize that may not be practical for everyone, but kind of weigh the odds. Or if you are going to bring your main device and you have, an external, hard drive at home, maybe, export or delete all of the things you don't need, so that what you are encrypting or bringing with you, should it be compromised, is a lower payload or amount of data that you're losing potentially. Or if you lose the device, right? That you're not bringing it all with you on that device. I don't know. That's just kind of some of the things that I had. I would say on the physical security, the other aspect of, and Macaroni's definitely like hit this home before with the USB juice jacking short and some of the other videos. Like, I would almost tie the, disabling whatever connections you don't need, like the near field, the Bluetooth, the Wi-Fi potentially, right? Like if you're not using them, disabling them saves your battery life as well, and you're less dependent on charging. And I would tie that into the physical security concept of you bring your own cords, right? You bring your own charging cables, your own plug-in dongles, or the things you plug into the wall, so that you're not using other people. And if you're controlling your battery life, you're less likely to need to, in the middle of the day, in an unplanned place, like, oh, I need to charge or whatever, and go look for potentially, someone else. So those are just kind of some key things on the physical security, I would say.
Go
ahead.
I'm just going to say that your first suggestion of bringing an entirely different device, although it's not practical, is probably safer than, say, deleting the data that you don't want somebody to find. Because look, if it's on a disk, it's there. It doesn't matter what you do to it. I mean, unless you're running it over with, anti-forensic sound tools, it's still there. So it can be recovered. So again, bring the $30 phone, the $90 shit book that you bought off eBay. Don't bring your main equipment.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah. Also, thank you, Sam, for your attention to detail and realizing I was skipping tip four. You said it very politely. And a couple of other things around that, right? So what we talked about in the slides there, that's a sponsor of this space, if you will. All the things that they just said, I would also say, we talked earlier too about bringing limited funds, whether it's, bring only, like Sam was talking about, bring only exactly what is necessary to do what you're trying to do where you are, right? Bring limited cash, bring limited cards, bring limited crypto. Obviously, you're bringing limited amounts, so maybe have an emergency set of funds as well that's hidden in some capacity. And speaking of, what you just mentioned about, the other benefit of keeping those different connection types disabled is saving battery life, so you're less dependent on charging all the time. So you might have to, you might run the risk of needing to use a public connection to charge your device, using surge protectors too, right? Because of, things like that. One second. So, the other thing I wanted to mention, just one little tip around physical security that I've experienced, or not myself, but I've seen other people very close to me experience, especially being in the military, is when you're taking a taxi, right? When you're in a foreign country, always take public transport, or not public, but official taxi systems. But in addition to that, every time before I'd get into a taxi, I would take a photo picture of their taxi number and license plate. Obviously, that may not stop the bad actor from doing something bad, but it might deter them because they might realize you're doing that, and they might go say, well, they're going to save that attempt for somebody else that is easier to compromise. Also, make sure you don't are not the first person to get out of that taxi or Uber or whatever, because if your bags are in the trunk and you're the first person to hop out, that driver can just drive off with your stuff. I've seen that happen to people time and time and time and time again. But Sick, were you going to say something? I think I heard
Oh
somebody
yeah.
about.
So with the juice jacking, we talked about bringing light equipment, bringing only what you need. And I'll tell you, one of the things you're going to need is one or two fully charged external power packs. The portable batteries with the USB ports. You're
Yeah.
going to need one if you've got a beefy one, two if you've got a bunch of, Wish.com power packs. But that should save you from plugging into anything that could, potentially execute code on your phone or laptop.
Yeah, that's another great piece of advice that absolutely, absolutely. Curious Bank, I don't know if I've welcomed you to the space, but welcome to the space. I appreciate you joining and listening, and you are welcome to hop up and participate in the conversation if you would like. John, thanks again for coming to the space again. Appreciate you. And you are also welcome to hop up. Just request to speak if you'd like. I just want to mention that we have about 15 minutes left. I just need to start being a little more timely with these spaces. My wife is very patient with me, and I need to try to return that respect to her and try to be more timely with these. So I'm going to try to cut off in about 15 minutes. I'll do my best. But anyway, you guys are welcome to hop up if you'd like. I see Curious Bank is requesting. So there you go. So let's go on to Curious Bank. Welcome up. Before I move on, I'll just welcome you up to space. Thank you. Just do a mic check to make sure we can hear you
Oh yeah,
okay.
great space, friend. Great space. I enjoy all the good advice here. I'm learning. I'm listening. I'm into Linux. I use Linux, and so a little bit's over my head, but I just keep on driving.
Hey man, that's the right attitude. I wish I could get everybody to have that attitude.
I know. It's
But
come so far in like the last 5 years, really, but even the last decade. I had one, and I promise it'll be fast for physical security.
ahead.
Okay, so the thing is, another aspect of the physical security is, and this kind of ties in with the tip seven, which is like maintain a security mindset. So it could be there too. But I read a book a while ago. It's phenomenal. It's called The Gift of Fear by Gavin DeBecker. And in it, the short of it is like your human intuition is super powerful. Your ability to read what are potentially dangerous situations and interpret that subconsciously are amazing. So when it comes to like physical security, among other things, right, if you feel uncomfortable with the situation, like you just get this, and he calls it, right? Everybody calls it something different, like your gut instinct, your woman's intuition, your whatever it is. Like if you feel that it's bad, then leave, right? Go somewhere else, get somewhere more public, safer, whatever. And I think for physical security, when it comes to that, like trust yourself. Don't try to, talk yourself out of it. Especially if you're traveling abroad and it's harder for you to maybe interpret a lot of those things. Like if you feel uncomfortable, and this isn't like a cyber thing, it's just in general, then leave, right? Don't worry, like Macaroni said last week, right? Don't worry about offending somebody if you're like, yeah, I gotta leave because I don't feel safe here, right? Go somewhere safer, reassess, and then re-engage if you need to.
Absolutely. 100%. That is the mentality to have. Yes, sir. Also, before I move on, I'm curious, Mink. I think the other people here have all been here before, so I'll just let you know for your own understanding what I'm doing and the others here on is I run a EpochSec or a crypto Cardano, but really crypto community cybersecurity support thing where the topics, advice, conversations, documentation, videos, and everything that I do is really to help out the mass, right? The majority of people. I'm not really here to specifically to help out people that have been in the cybersecurity spaces longer than I have, but I'm really trying to do as much as we can to help out the average person or the or a better way to phrase that is the majority of people out there that do not have cybersecurity experience. So that's really what we do. I just want to make sure you had that idea there. But anyway, moving on. So the last two tips, the very last one is kind of just a reminder or overall, mention. But the last major tip here is local laws and protection. So, I've been to dozens and I'm sure plenty of most of you on this call too have, but I've been to dozens and dozens and dozens of different countries around the world, most of the United States, continental United States, North America, South America. I mean, if you can name a country, the odds are I've probably been there. And one of the biggest things that you should always do, and something we mentioned in the very beginning around the topic of being aware of scams or crime in the local area you're going to, equally as important as being aware of the local laws and of that area, that country or area wherever you're going, being aware of their local laws and also your own protections, right? So if you do something unknowingly to you potentially that might be against the law, you need to be aware of what those laws are and what protections and safety nets that you have to help you out in those situations. So I really always recommend to people there's plenty of sites out there. One of the sites I mentioned in my video for the week back on Wednesday was I forget the URL off the top of my head, but anyways, a US federal government website where you could go on there, and if you go to my video, you can see that website in the description. But you could basically just search a country. And it'll tell you all of the information you need. What are the current crimes happening there? What is the current state of the country? Are they in a current civil war or something, right? It also will tell you other information that you need to know. What is your local embassy in that area? So, for instance, being a US citizen, generally there is a US embassy in the country you're going to, for the most part. So be aware of how to contact them, their contact information, how to reach out to them. Be aware of other local support, right? How does law enforcement and support there help you? Be very aware and cognizant of your surroundings, right? Some of the things we mentioned so far, right? You should really just stay in, do your best to stay in public, visible places. I wouldn't go with some random guy I've not met before down some weird alleyway for some local party, right? Also being cognizant and aware of drawing attention to yourself. So it's very hard to avoid as a foreigner to some place to avoid drawing attention to yourself, but do your best, right? One of the things we always experience a lot in the military is you get in there and sometimes you might have to wear your uniform depending on what country you're going to, but you typically always have a military haircut, right? Very short hair on the sides and a little bit of hair on the top is it stands out very well. So you're obviously a person in the military, in the country that where you're a foreigner to, and it's very obvious. It's easy for bad actors to find that out because they could tell when ships are coming into port and things like that. So,
What's that saying? High and tight, stand out bright.
yeah, that's the haircut. Yeah, man. Yeah. I try. I don't do that too much anymore, but I do have a beard. So, yeah. So gotten away from that. But yeah, being aware of, things like that. And Sam, I know you and I talked earlier in the week and you actually had some other points to make on this. So if you don't mind sharing those, but also if anybody else up here speaking has other things to share on that topic, I'll stop talking now and let you go ahead.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And so some of the things that I think are worth paying attention to. So the website that Macaroni, I believe that he had shown in the YouTube video, but if not, it's a really good one. Really, no matter what country you're coming from, right, the internet is open. But it is like the Department of State travel. And so you can go in there, you can drill it down by the country, and you can look at what information is there. A lot of it is general enough that even if you're not a U.S. citizen, it could be a valuable resource. Obviously, that's the one I know the best. But, you know, many countries in whatever similar kind of government agency covers that is going to be, you know, a go-to resource, especially, right, looking at what your country has in relation to that country. But on there, it'll go through and it'll detail what laws you need to really be focused on. When Macron and I were talking about it, one of the things, you know, I was saying is like, well, you know, in Dubai, there are some very, maybe that sounds rude to say peculiar, but like from a U.S. perspective and some other countries, there are things you might not expect, like, you know, things as simple as just prescription medication. Having prescription medication, it's not just enough. In most countries, it's fine if you just have a legitimate bottle, right? But in Dubai, especially in the UAE, you have to have the prescription from your doctor signed with the contact information to, you know, to pass through. You know, and so looking at those kind of laws just to keep you safe, and again, that has nothing to do with cybersecurity or anything like that, but it's just general keep you safe while you're traveling tips of, you know, how do they look at technology, right? What are your rights? What can they do with your phone or your computer when you arrive or at any point? You know, just paying attention to those kind of things might help inform the decisions you make with what devices you bring. And so things like that really help. Just pay attention to what that country has for laws and how that may relate to you, you know, if for no other reason than to keep yourself from drawing that attention.
Yeah, indeed. Indeed. Yeah. Anybody else have anything to share on that topic?
Well, don't be too fearful when you travel, because there are people out there that will help you. And obviously, you don't want to like lie to them and be like, oh, and they find out why you were in town because you like are living in their house next door or something in like a bed and breakfast, right? So like some people are really nice on your trip. So don't be scared when you travel. But cyber wise, definitely take some of these tips and try to VPN. And I'm very curious in Horton's trick there. But again, I'm learning.
Yeah, you know, something we always say, right? And you'll get it, obviously, but is, you know, and again, this is another thing I was talking to Sam about too, is, you know, and this is something we'll dedicate some time to defining for people so that they better get the concepts. But to your point, maybe, all of this advice is something to take in and make your own personal decision, right? You have your own risk tolerance and risk acceptance levels, right? So, as an individual, but you also have your own security versus availability decisions to make as an individual, right?
So at best, technically, it's theoretical until the individual that's hearing it decides the best way to enact it for them.
That's a good way to put it. Yeah. Yeah. I would advise people, if they don't have a plan of action and they don't know the best way to handle it for themselves, start out with the things we're recommending and then tailor it from there, right? If it's too restrictive for you or too lax for you, and then, you know, adjust accordingly, right? Yeah. Well, good point. Good point. So the last tip here is really just kind of a 3 points to close up with, right? So something I think I've already actually talked about them, honestly, but not, in any of my conversations or any of my topics that I do at any point in any week, right? No one tip will make you 100% secure, right? It's a layered security approach and using multiple facets of the things that we talk about to continuously improve your security. Really, what you're trying to do is make it more difficult on that bad actor to compromise you so that they'll potentially say, well, this person has done this thing, it'll be a little more difficult, but this other person didn't, so maybe I'll go compromise them. Not that we want anybody to be compromised, right? But you're trying to avoid being compromised, right? So you're trying to just make it more difficult. One thing I didn't mention earlier about the physical security is using, there's certain bags out there like PackSafe, et cetera, that might have reinforced material that they use, and then it might be designed in a way that where you can lock the bag or whatever you have in a secure way. Obviously, if you gave me that bag and you gave me enough time, I can get into it, right? But you're just trying to make it more difficult for those bad actors, right?
The other thing I forgot to mention is on top of the YubiKey sponsorship, I'm also working with a company that makes Faraday cage backpacks and sleeves for your electronics.
Interesting. Make sure you keep us up to date on that, Zick.
Most definitely.
Cool, man. Well, interestingly, I'm done talking, and we're at the 20 minute after the hour mark. Kind of when I want to close up, but I do want to pause and just see if anybody up here speaking has anything to go back on, any other advice to share, anything like that.
I'm sure that you know, under physical security, you included because your mouth is a part of your bodily autonomy and that falls into physical security. Generally speaking, when it comes to information, keeping it safe is as simple as being very couth with the information that you're sharing. And if you can help it, don't share any information with anyone unless they need to know it. And strictly speaking, for security purposes, nobody needs to know ever under any circumstances.
You know, there's a phrase we always use in the military, and a couple of you up here can attest to it, is everybody is on a need-to-know basis.
Yes, and no one needs to know, ever.
It's the best. It's the safest approach, yes.
So the other thing is, whenever you're in an environment that could be monitored, which is whenever you're speaking or, you know, whenever you're existing, period, because the sad fact is any environment can be monitored, you should always, when you are sharing information, because somebody does need to know, you should make sure that you're only sharing the information they need to know. You should always assume that you're being monitored. Always.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah. All right, so I'll keep going around. Actually, I want to call on each person individually to see if you have anything to close up. Abel Pool Hornan, do you have anything to close up with there? Any thoughts you have that you've been thinking of?
Sure. I'll tell you, make sure you encrypt your stuff. Don't go anywhere without the good, strong password. That's it.
Grab the random password generator off my GitHub if you need to generate secure random passwords using the devrandom directory on your Linux machine.
Travel I'm definitely going to check out your GitHub.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah. All right, continuing in order. Curious, Vank, you know, being a new person in the space, do you have anything to add to this or share? You don't have to if you don't want to, but I want to give you the opportunity.
Yeah, no, I don't have too much to add. I just use Cloudflare for my back end, as advised by a good friend of mine.
Yeah, and Cloudflare is a pretty cool tool. Okay, well, keep on joining the space. Not purposely shilling my stuff, but check out my YouTube channel. Check out my EpochSec account. So, and by the way, Holy Macaroni, the account on here is my main account, the one that I actively use for every purpose. But EpochSec is the one I dedicate for these Twitter spaces and specifically sharing out my security content. But yeah, check out my YouTube channel, check out my website documentation, and see if it helps you. I hope it does. Yeah, but thank you very much for coming. Driving tips, do you have anything?
Yeah, I would just say pack light. And from overhearing the DEF CON talks, always come use burners when you're traveling. And obviously, hopefully, you have a good IT department at your company. And if you have to run that, I'm sorry. People are silly. But run light if you're traveling. You don't want to have to bring a bunch of extra stuff. And I saw turn off Bluetooth on there. You can get hacked through so many ways. So just be careful nowadays. It's so you're compromised and always being watched.
Put it in a sock and smash it with a hammer. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, everything you guys are saying so far is absolutely good points to add to this. 100%, man. And thank you, driving. Sam, last but not least, but first, Sam, before you go, for everybody on the space, I want to just acknowledge Sam. He has been spending a lot of time helping me with these topics and having conversations with me. And specifically, he is the one that has came up with the idea and started doing these slides that you see pinned up top every week for the content that I decide to do for that week. So, Sam, thank you very much for your contributions and your time and effort and help on this. It means a lot. But do you have anything to close up with?
Hey, thank you very much. It's my pleasure. So I've said this before, right? And we've kind of already talked about this. You know, Sick mentioned it. You reinforced it, so I'll just be the third person to say it. But, like, you know, it's easy to get, like, overwhelmed with how much there is to do. And I would say, right, like, you know, Six said, you know, it's theoretical until you put it into practice. It's important to understand really tip 7, right, which is just maintain a security mindset. Right, no one of these tips is going to make you 100% secure. You may not be able to apply every single one of them, but the important thing is starting small. If you have to, like, start with what you can manage, with what you can implement into your normal daily routine or travel routine, I guess in this case, right? Like, start with what you can. And then as you grow in your, like, comfortability with applying any of these security tips and observations, right, just add a little bit more as you go. And I think that's really the big way to do it, right? Like, it's easy to be overwhelmed and think there's a million things. And we spent an hour and 26 minutes talking about this just today, right? And like, that's so much, but just start small, right, with what you can manage, right? And maybe it's just the basic things. You bring your own charger, or you bring your own power bank, like Six said, or you start with what you can and then build on there as you become more comfortable, familiar, or confident in it. And I think that is really, like, the biggest thing. If you do all of this, you'll probably be so far above the lowest hanging fruit from a bad actor at home or traveling. But just start with what you can. And that's kind of, like, that's really my big thing.
Very, very solid closing point, Sam. Indeed, that couldn't be more true. Okay. If anybody has anything else to add on to that, I keep on going, I know, but you're welcome to interrupt me while I'm closing up if you would like.
So when you're traveling, make sure that when you're traveling, whoever you're with knows which routes you intend to take, and come up with two separate phrases. One is the crapola has hit the fan, and the other one is everything is, you know, good. That way, you don't have to say too much. If communication is sparse, they'll know you're in trouble based on what you're saying. So have a panic word and have a safe word, and make sure that the parties you're with know the routes you intend on taking.
Hell yeah, that is an awesome point. Speaking of that, you reminded me of something, Sick, something I mentioned on Cardano Over Coffee on Friday. Every time I'm in a taxi or Uber or any vehicle that is not mine going to some place, I always open my mobile phone and I Google Map that place too, so I can follow his directions along with that person driving unknowingly to them that I'm doing that. So if for some reason out of nowhere they divert, I can my awareness becomes a little more heightened and I start being concerned. A little tip that someone gave on that space when I mentioned that is, you know, so that you don't draw attention to that person that you know that they're diverting from that direction, you might start acting like you're sick, like you're going to throw up or something, and start throwing a fit about that. Maybe they'll pull over and you can get out, right? So that is something to keep in mind too, right? That's something I forgot to mention earlier. But.
Or fake that you see an interesting thing to the side of the road. Oh, actually, wait, can we stop here? I want to go to this restaurant or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. But don't say, hey, I'm watching you where you're going. You're going the wrong place, right? Because then you might get yourself in trouble, right? So,
sorry, I must have drank 14 Dr. Peppers. I got to pee.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that'll work, yeah. Because sometimes I do that. Yeah. All right. I'm going to close up. I'm going to get off here. Thank you very much, everybody, for coming, sharing all of your advice as well. Thank you to the folks that are new up here. And thank you too. You know, as long as I've been doing this, I learned things as well in these conversations. So I hope everybody has a great rest of your Sunday. I'm going to go finish my whiskey and cigar here and enjoy the rest of my evening. I hope you all enjoy your evening as well.
Glad to be a part of it. Thank you.
Thanks for having me up.
Thank you.
I'm going to go play with my flipper.
Enjoy.
Me too.
Oh, yeah, I haven't gotten mine yet, damn it.
Yeah, he's still waiting for this. All right.
Well, you're not going to either. They're seizing them at customs.
Oh, great.
All right.
All right. Y'all have a good one. All right, yep, bye. See you.